This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Social credit is a trend in China, and maybe one day it'll come to the U.S. Joining me to give a breakdown of what social credit is Dr. Samantha Hoffman. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you for having me.
Could you tell me, what is social credit?
Social credit is really the tangible evidence of the Chinese Communist Party's efforts to harness things like big data and artificial intelligence to automate its processes for ensuring its own power. China's social credit system is often compared to a television episode of the show called Black Mirror, you might be familiar with. And that TV show, which is set in the hopefully fictitious future, the characters live in a world where technology is integrated into every aspect of their daily lives, and it's used to rank them based on their social interactions. And the ranking that each person receives impacts their socioeconomic status. The Chinese version isn't exactly the same as that, but it is conceptually somewhat similar. I would say the main difference between the Chinese version is that the party state is ultimately the body that ranks individuals. And instead of acting like a social network, as it's portrayed in that TV show Black Mirror, the scoring in the social credit system is based on a combination of market and government data. China's social credit is designed to monitor, shape, and rate the way that people behave, all with the objective of keeping the Chinese Communist Party in power.
So this is just them trying to stay in power, just the country, like the government itself.
Yeah, and it's actually part of a much broader social and political control process. The Chinese Communist Party calls this, in its language, it's called social management. And what social credit is designed to do, it's designed really to automate the concept of an individual's responsibility to the party state. So not participating in the system can not only have consequences for an individual, but also their personal networks. And what I mean by individual responsibility, it's the concept that every individual is trusted with the responsibility to uphold both the social stability and national security. So social credit is a process that uses technology in its ideal form to really improve the depth of the both sort of cooperative and coercive tactics that the party state already uses to maintain social and political control. Part of what social credit is it's about establishing trust. So in some senses, it's not just about controlling an individual. It's also improving things like the trust involved in, say, a business transaction. It's integrating every parts of everyday life into social and economic life into social control.
Okay, so it kind of sounds bad, but on the flip side, social transparency kind of sounds like a good thing. I mean, we kind of already have our own rating systems. We have the BBB rating. You know, you can call that up and complain about a company and their score can go down. We have credit scores of whether we can get a really good, you know, interest rate on our mortgage. So why would this be any different or be bad?
The difference is that what would bring your score down in this case, yes, it could be, you know, these normal things that we would think about in a rating system, but it would also be whether or not you're loyal to the Chinese Communist Party. A crime could be a political one. You could post something negative about the Chinese Communist Party or a local government official on your social media account and then find yourself in trouble, and that already exists. But what this system would do is it would automate the process, and it would improve the integration of information. So eventually it would have a much greater impact on your life. Not only would it, I mean, the idea of the system is to change the way that you behave before you behave. If you know that there's going to be a negative consequence for, say, saying something negative about Chinese Communist Party, then you won't do it because maybe that would affect your social network. So it would affect your family. The idea is to make it, though, a normal part of everyday social and economic life, to make it feel as if something that you would benefit from participating, because the idea of the way that social management works and the way that social credit is designed is an ideal system because it doesn't really exist yet. There's local government trials, there's scoring system trials, but there's no cohesive national system yet. But the way that it would work is that it integrates control into everyday social and economic life so that it feels as if you're benefiting from it. But the difference is that it has a very distinct political motive.
Now, you said a lot of, like, if you did it. So if I went and I posted something on Facebook, and let's say I lived in China and I said something about the government, of course, my score would go down. Would this affect my family? Like, let's say it's Facebook and I have my mother, my father, and my sister on there, and I'm talking a lot of crap here. And would their score go down just for knowing me?
Could. And it could eventually affect who would be willing to associate with you. It's almost like creating some kind of class system. I mean, in its ideal type, if this works. Because what we're talking about, you know, these methods of social control, they already sort of exist. You know, you see other stories of Chinese abroad, for instance, who are maybe engaged in some activities that are speaking out against the party or whatever it might be, that actually then their family at home is harassed. There were stories last week or 2 weeks ago of journalists, Uyghur journalists in the U.S., working for, I believe it was Radio Free Asia, and their families back home were being harassed and arrested as a way of preventing them from continuing their activities overseas. And so really, you know, these methods of control already exist. So what social credit does is it just adds technology and it creates more of a cohesive system. So yes, it does affect your family or could affect your family. It could affect your social network because in a sense, those activities already would.
Okay, so it kind of sounds really scary. This is bigger than like the Big Brother concept of, you know, like governments in your life. They're trying to get into your digital life as well. You know, I'm reading articles after article about how other countries are looking at China right now saying, hey, we kind of like where this is going. And they're like, we want to try to implement something a little bit like that. Why would other governments even be looking at this?
There are other governments with motives similar to the Chinese Communist Party. But I think, you know, some of what makes part of the system interesting is that there are elements of it that can, say, improve the party's, you know, governing capacity, and that includes response to everyday issues. Because, you know, for the party to stay in power, it's not just about this coercive role or policing. It's also about improving its ability to solve everyday problems or maximizing resources. And so there's certain things that, you know, the social credit system and different technology that's involved in it could also be linked to the concept of, say, smart cities. And those are Western concepts. So they're really similar ideas, I guess, that have a different meaning depending on the context that they're applied in. At the end of the day, for the Chinese Communist Party, its number one objective is to stay in power. So it has a very different meaning than it would, you know, necessarily somewhere else. There are also other governments who are looking at it as a way for social control.
You know, there's a lot of people here in the U.S. who are kind of paranoid and they'll sit there and say, well, I'll just go off the grid. Would that even work if you just was like, okay, I'm not even going to use social media? And I know in China, there are some rural areas where they don't even have cell phones. So would those people even have a score?
Well, there's a couple responses. First is that increasingly it would become difficult not to participate because the system right now doesn't exist in its ideal form. It's not centralized. Local governments have trials. There are private companies who have, trial scoring systems. Local governments have issued regulations on establishing a social credit system. There's national level a plan for establishing a social credit system, but it's not cohesive yet. That doesn't mean that it won't be. It's just that it's something that is going to develop in multiple stages over a very long period of time. If it even becomes the idealized version that is described in some of these documents. But increasingly, it would be difficult not to participate because it would be integrated into everyday aspects of your life. So mobile payment is, you know, a major thing in China now and makes life easier in a lot of ways. So, you know, not participating in that system actually becomes more difficult not to participate. Just like nowadays, you know, it's very difficult not to own a cell phone. And that's almost how this would work over time. It could become the case that, you know, if you want a certain thing, if you want access to a certain service or good, that you would have to have a score in order to feed that. So that's not the case right now, but it could be over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I know you talked about the Black Mirror episode, but there's also a show called The Orville by Seth MacFarlane. And it's really cheesy, but I watched the whole thing. And there's one episode called Majority Rule. And its idea, it looks just like Earth and, you know, the social media stuff. But one of the things I found interesting was, is this lady came in. She has a really low score. And she's like, I just want a cup of coffee. Just give me a cup of coffee. And the barista's like, no. We don't serve people under 120 million, you know, likes or some shit. And it was just funny because she denied her service because she had a bad score. And that's kind of what you were saying about the payment stuff. It's like you can be denied service. And that's a little weird.
And, you know, and that already sort of exists to an extent because at the central level, even there's like blacklisting systems. You know, if you're somebody who is considered somebody who would have a low score, or right now, since the scoring doesn't really exist on a cohesive letter level, you know, but it's still, people can be blacklisted for certain things. And so, you know, that would put you under more pressure from security forces, but it would also, you know, limit your ability to move in society. It is scary. You know, it's designed, like I said, very explicitly to ensure the party's power, and with that, about social control. And yes, there's positive elements to it, but it doesn't make it any less coercive.
In that episode, I forgot to mention that she kept saying, the lady who was trying to buy the coffee, she was saying, oh, but that was like when I was 21. I'm different now. So all the mistakes she made.
It's easy,
you know,
to get a bad score, but it's easy to recover from it.
Exactly.
And I think I haven't seen the show, although I've heard of it. You know, it's something that I think completely changed people's lives if it's implemented in the way that it's being designed, because it would be that, you know, it would be that you can get a bad score for one, you know, political or whatever mistake that you've made. I mean, they could also be normal crimes. I say normal as in, you know, something that we would consider a crime in the U.S. as well. But you can also get a low score for, you know, protesting, demanding rights, demanding that your property isn't torn down or taken away, seized, or protest over unpaid wages, you know, whatever your activity was that got you into trouble, pulling yourself out of that could be very difficult.
So let's say it wasn't the government doing this. Let's just say, like here in the U.S., let's say Google, Facebook, and Amazon, they all teamed up to form this superpower. And they said, you know, we're going to use all the information we gathered on everybody to sit there and give you a score. And, you know, off the bat, everybody will have a score. If it was a corporation doing this versus a government entity, would this be like treated a little bit differently then?
In my personal opinion, no, I think it's all pretty scary. You know, I mean, obviously it could have different meanings, but I think, you know, part of the problem, and I think, you know, in China, the social credit system isn't necessarily received negatively, because like I said, you know, it does improve different aspects of your everyday life. It is integrated into your normal social and economic activity. But part of it, I think, is that people don't necessarily know how their data is being used. And the same in the West, you know, it's not a problem that's unique to China. It's, you wouldn't necessarily know how your data is being used and how it can affect you. And I think even if that was transparent, if a business was using it for those reasons, Amazon or whoever else you listed, I think that there's still something that, to me, is very wrong with that. Maybe other people would have a different opinion. But
personally, I don't like when people are in my business, but that's just me. if your country is thinking about this, because right now, again, like I said, a lot of countries around the world, they're looking at China and they're like, okay, these guys are the litmus test. They're gonna do all the legwork for us. If your country is looking at it and saying, that's a pretty good idea, should you be a little worried?
I would be worried, and I'd also be worried about how China's system could affect us here, specifically talking about individuals who might be dealing with China on a regular basis. And I'm also talking about Chinese citizens who are living overseas. You know, to me, the system that China's designing isn't limited necessarily to its borders, at least to the way that it's described in its ideal form. And so, you know, that's something to consider. And the other thing to consider is, you know, some of the technology that could be involved could be used overseas. Aspects of that, maybe they aren't so bad, but other aspects, they could be. So I think it's more a matter of knowing what we're dealing with, how to respond. Because I focus on China, I think a lot about how that system could affect, you know, Chinese who are overseas and again, individuals who are dealing with China on a regular basis, individuals and businesses.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hoffman, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
I have a Twitter. My handle is @HE_SHUNEI. Hoshime, my Chinese name.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.